I never know what I'm supposed to say when I pray. I fold my hands and close my eyes and then just nothing. What exactly am I supposed to be praying for? There are so many big problems in the world. Am I supposed to pray for all of them? I know people who are so confident in their prayers, but I'm not. So I close my eyes to pray, and then, what am I supposed to say?
As many know, we've been on a path this year called 12 Books in 12 Months, where we are learning from a different book of the Bible in each sermon series. And this book for the coming series, Let's Pray, is the book of Luke. We're going to be praying together. We're going to be learning about prayer from Jesus. We're going to be practicing prayer. And I think most importantly, I hope you will join us in the month ahead. We've given you a devotional guide that we as a community are going to pray. We're going to pray for each other. We're going to pray for our families. We're going to pray for our communities. We're going to pray for our relationship with Jesus in this month ahead. So as we get started today and look a little bit more at Luke 11, as Karen just read, let's pray for a moment. Would you pray with me? Lord, connect our hearts with yours. Take my lips in these moments and speak through them. Take our minds, Lord, and think through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire with your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was on a retreat with 7th and 8th graders a number of years ago now, and it was time for the meal, and we'd all gathered together, and I asked my usual question, would anybody like to raise your hand if you want to pray? And this young guy, 7th grader, pretty quiet, never one to really volunteer for anything, he raised his hand, and I thought, well, that's a little odd, but I called on Justin and said, all right, Justin. And then I should have known in the next moment, because as I said, let's all bow our heads and Justin will pray, I saw that just like flash of fear in his eyes. And then we all bowed our heads and Justin led us in some silence. And I thought, a moment to gather ourselves. And then the moment of silence turned into awkward silence, and I looked up and realized the kids were all starting to look up and look around like, okay, what's going on here? And then the awkward silence turned into really uncomfortable silence. And the kid, you could just hear them start to giggle in little groups. And at this point, it dawned on me that this was not just Justin leading us in silent prayer. And so I made eye contact across the circle, and he looked so relieved. And he shared with me across the circle, and I think he meant to just mouth it, but like the voice came out. It was like, what am I supposed to say? As it turns out, I found out later, Justin thought that he had volunteered to serve for lunch, not to pray. And he had no desire to pray in front of other people whatsoever. So I think about Justin, and I think of our lives of prayer. I don't think we're all that unlike Justin. I mean, lots of us pray. Some of us have those prayers that we say at every meal, and some of us certainly pray every day, and there are a handful of us that have really deep prayer lives. But I think the reality for us is that many of us find ourselves like Justin at some point in our lives with this question, like what do we pray? For some of us gathered here today, we don't pray all that often, and so we just don't know what to say or do or even where to begin. And for some of us, maybe you've had this experience, some of us find ourselves in a prayer rut. We just feel like we're saying the same thing again and again in our prayers, and we're like, I know I'm supposed to be using this in relationship to Jesus, but I don't know what to say to get out of this rut. For some of us, we question whether our prayers are any good. As a pastor, we know this because when we ask someone in a circle to pray, they're always like, I don't pray like you pray. Like somehow the pastor is rating everyone's prayers in the circle, right? That we don't think we know the right words to pray in front of others. For some, we pray regularly, but we find ourselves in moments in our lives where we're just in crisis, or we're struggling, or we're in grief, and the words just don't come, and we're not sure what to pray. And so we can ask this question with Justin: what do I say when I pray? And I have some good news. We can learn together how to pray. And I have some good news. We're not alone. The disciples had watched Jesus pray. They'd been with Jesus, and they still weren't really sure. And so they had this opportunity as he was praying. And so they came to him, and they're like, Jesus, can you teach us how to pray like that? It's actually right after the story of the transfiguration this happens. And so you can imagine Peter and John went up, and they saw like Jesus transformed and Elijah and Moses appear. And a couple weeks or a few days later, they're like, Jesus, we want to pray like that. Show us how to have that kind of experience in prayer. Like, they want to know what to say, what to do. And so Jesus, he answers and he says, look, when you want to give a good prayer, you're going to need a pastor because they know how to pray. And you're going to want them to say really, really fancy words, right? No, I'm kidding, right? That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says these somewhat simple words, and we know them today as the Lord's Prayer, but I want to invite us just for a moment as we think about prayer in the month or two ahead to think about the Lord's Prayer not as simply a prayer to recite over and over again, but what if Jesus, as he gathers with his disciples, wasn't simply giving the words to say, but was giving the disciples like a how-to guide? What if we think about the Lord's Prayer not as words to say, although that's important and it's important to have that collective prayer together, but what if we think about it as Jesus saying, okay, when you're not sure what to pray, let me give you this model that you can use anytime, anywhere. Here's a how-to guide for prayer. And he begins, right? He says, to start, he says, Father. Now, today you should have received one of these devotional guides as you came in. If you didn't get one, I hope you'll get one on the way out. You can look over somebody's shoulder for now. And we printed enough of these. I hope everybody will take one, so you don't have to share with your family. There's a place for little devotionals every day of Lent. You'll find a scripture passage that you can read and a scripture verse and a quote to make you think about the topic for the day. And then you'll actually find a prayer that you can pray. If you don't have words yourself that day, there's a prayer you can pray. But it'll also invite you to add your own words. I hope we can pray together through this devotional guide this month. One of the other things you'll find, though, and this is why I invite you to get it out right now, is on Sundays, you'll see a place. Every Sunday, we're going to invite and introduce a prayer practice, and we're going to do that practice together. So today, we're going to think about what does it mean to pray through the Lord's Prayer in our own words, to use Jesus' words as a guide for our own prayers. I want to invite you to grab that. You can grab a pencil from the pew in front of you and write today. So as I said, Jesus starts out, Father, right? The first part of our guide is, how do you invoke the name of Jesus in a way that calls into a relationship, right? When I want the attention of my son, I'll say, Noah. It's the first thing I do, right? It calls Noah's attention to me and my attention to Noah, and then we can continue the conversation. What are the names that you use for God that help you picture a relationship? Maybe it's God, maybe it's Holy God, maybe it's for you, it's Jesus or Holy Spirit or Creator, right? Right in this first blank, write down what's a word that calls you to pay attention to God in your life and to your relationship with Jesus. The next thing that Jesus teaches is, hallowed be your name. The next step in your prayer is to lift a praise, a phrase of praise to God. Right? Recognize God as holy. It's going to look different for all of us, and it may look different in a day. Maybe last night there were these flowers that were delivered to our house, and I looked at one of the flowers and was just thankful for the flower. And maybe for you, it's just, God, thank you for showing me the holiness and beauty in your creation. You might say, Lord, your presence is such an important part of my life. It doesn't have to be fancy. You could just say, Holy Spirit, you rock. All right, and for those of you who are younger, I know that's kind of 80s language, but I tested with Ella. I said, Ella, could I say, like, Holy Spirit, you are lit? But it sounds really weird coming from me. So I don't think it works. But it might work for younger people. I don't know. Right? Take a moment and write a phrase of praise to God. After this phrase, hallowed be your name, Jesus says to pray for God's kingdom to come. Right? Your kingdom come. And notice, we're going to talk more about this as we think about prayer, because I think this is a big one. But notice that this is for God's kingdom to come, not ours. Right? This is praying for what God wills, not what we want. Praying for God, what God wills, not what we want. How would you put this in your own words? How does this phrase become real for you? Praying for what God wills and not what you want. For me, sometimes it's a prayer that's like, God, just help me remember today that this isn't about me. Or sometimes this prayer, Jesus, help me to fall so in love with you, to be so grounded in you that people see you when I'm trying to serve and be there for others. Write down your own prayer for God's will and kingdom to come. Jesus' next words, give us each day our daily bread. Now, there are a couple of ways to interpret these words of Jesus. One is to think about Jesus as the bread of life. And in some ways, this is Jesus introducing the disciples to pray, to sort of pray, give me Jesus every day of their lives. I need Jesus in my every day. I need Jesus in my every moment. There's another way to take this really sort of more literally, that this sense of praying to God for daily needs, which calls us to recognize that everything that we have comes for God. You might think of it this way. What do you take for granted in your life? Right, the food that's on your table, the family that will gather around you, your home, the roof over your head, the heat that you have in the cold of winter. Jesus invites us to pay attention to how God is blessing us in ways that we may not even be thinking about, and in that to recognize God's presence, God's goodness. To write down now your own prayer. What are the things you take for granted? What are the blessings that you don't always name or think about? Jesus continues, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. How often do we pray these words in the Lord's Prayer, but we don't actually pause to forgive anybody? Nor do we pause to actually confess, right? We just pray through them, and we don't pause to think about what Jesus is really saying here. What Jesus is really saying is, hey, pause a minute and think about all the people who've caused you pain or bitterness or hurt, and as hard as it may be, you're going to have to let go of that to experience my love and my wholeness. So take a moment as you pray this and forgive them. And he's saying, when you find that hard, when you find it hard to forgive others, let me suggest you do this first. It's the first thing he says, forgive us our sins. So the first thing you should do, think about the ways that you have harmed others, the brokenness in your own life, the ways that you've drifted away from God, and name those first, and then remember that God forgives you. Take a moment and write your own prayer, offering and asking for forgiveness. The last part of Jesus' guide to prayer is, lead us not into temptation. I don't think Jesus is really talking about sort of little t temptation like chocolate here. Right, Jesus is saying, name those things that tempt you, that draw you away from me. Name those things that pull your family from being centered in my love. Name those things that pull you as an individual from sharing my love with others. Name those things that cause you to be unhealthy and to not take care of your body, which is a temple. Name those things that lead you into lifestyles that aren't holy and filled with goodness. Name those things. Because when you name them and when you see me at work in your life, you'll find the strength that you need to not fall into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. So take a moment and write down, what are the temptations in your own life? Where do you need the strength of Christ to keep you from following those paths? And I want to invite you to imagine a doorway in front of you. If it helps for your imagination to close your eyes and just picture that there's a doorway in front of you right now. And you're going to knock on that door. And Jesus opens that door and answers. What does he look like? Now imagine Jesus invites you in to the room. And you just see this joy that Jesus has in welcoming you in. And you realize Jesus, he just wants to get to know you. He puts your favorite food down on the table in front of you. And he brings you a drink. And he sits down next to you. And just imagine, Jesus just sitting across from you. And he wants a relationship with you. He just wants to get to know you. He wants to know what you're struggling with so he can help. He genuinely wants to help. He wants to know what you're celebrating. He wants to know where he can be there for you. He just needs you to open up and tell him what's going on in your life. No fancy words, just a conversation. There's a great poem called Praying by Mary Oliver. And it goes like this. It doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones. Just pay attention. Then patch a few words together and don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but the doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak. You read those last few lines again. This isn't a contest, but the doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak. As we walk through this time of prayer in our lives, through this Lenten season to come, I want to just invite us to imagine a doorway. And every time we pray, we're invited to step in and deepen our relationship, our friendship with Jesus. Imagine an opportunity just to sit with Jesus and hear what he has to say, what he has to speak into our hearts. Our kids are used to a bottom line. This is really our bottom line for today. When you're not sure what to say when you pray, use Jesus' prayer and copy. Would you say this with me? When you're not sure what to say when you pray, use Jesus' prayer and copy. Each week in this sermon series, I'm going to invite you to take a prayer practice with you and just practice it during the week. You'll find those next steps in your life guide every week. Today's invitation is to pray through this prayer that you just wrote or to do this exercise again and to do it once every day this week. Find a time, carve it out every day, and pray through the Lord's Prayer in your own words. How many of you have a device, a phone on you that will do reminders? Right? How many of you have an Amazon Alexa or Echo at home? Right? How many of you have Post-it notes at home or a pad of paper? All right, that covers everybody. So what I invite you to do is just ask, invite Alexa into your spiritual life and say, Alexa, remind me at 7 p.m. every night to do the Lord's Prayer. Or do it with Siri on your phone, or write a note and put it on your table, and once a day do this. And if you're like, I'm already praying and have a really deep prayer life, you'll find next steps in that as well. One is to take this prayer style and use it for 20 minutes every day and just see what words it guides you into in your conversation with Jesus. Each week you'll find in that life guide sort of a basic first step and other ways to take a next step in your life of prayer. To get you started, we're going to do this today. I'm just going to invite you with that guide in front of you, with your devotional guide in front of you in that prayer. Just take 20 or 30 seconds. If you wrote today, you can pray through what you wrote. If you didn't write things down already, pray through the thoughts that this sermon stirs for you. Just spend 20 or 30 seconds with God right now in prayer as we close this time together. Jesus, remind us as we pray that you hear us, that you hear every word spoken from our heart. And Lord, remind us that there aren't right words, just honest words. You just want us to share what's on our hearts and on our minds with you. So hear these, our prayers. And our prayers every day this week as we seek to pray for our families and our community and your will in our world together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.